Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Kuf Ayin. We are holding on Kuf Samach Tes Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Habo Lidoin, Bishtar B'Chazaka. A fellow sitting on a field, he's being challenged by someone who claims that he actually is the owner. So this fellow of ours, let's call him Shimon, is going to try to defend his position and substantiate his ownership. And he has a choice. He can provide either a shtar, right? He claims that he has a shtar, a document proving ownership given to him by the by the other fellow upon the sale of the property. So Shimon claims to have purchased the property from Reuben. Here's a shtar. Ubechazaka, likewise, he says, look, I'm here a couple of years, 3 years, and as we all know, based on the Perek Cheskas Habatim, that in itself would serve, of course, with Edim, with witnesses who back him up, that would serve as independent proof of ownership. Because once you're there many years, after 3 years, you no longer look after your documents, so that's considered de facto proof of ownership. So let's say a person has the ability to present either a shtar or chazaka. Which one do we go by? Hambolidim b'shtar b'chazaka. Lidim b'shtar. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi holds, we prefer the shtar. So he needs to show that shtar, he cannot use the chazaka. And of course, we're going to see a whole, we're going to go into a whole discussion here, where the Gemara will bring at least five different ways to explain the machlekes. Okay, so what is the machlekes? He has a choice. Shtar or chazaka, Rabbi says go with the shtar. Rabbi Shimon le loimer b'chazaka. You can use the chazaka. But my kemifli, what's the machlekes about? Ki yasu Rav Dimi. So here comes the first approach. Rav Dimi comes and he says, Amar, he explained like this. Ba'isayis niknayis b'msira kemifli. So the Rashbam explains like this. We're speaking about a fellow who's on a property. We call him Shimon, right? Who claims to have purchased it from Reuven. But really, Reuven already purchased the property from somebody else. Let's call him Levi. And he had a document that he purchased the property from Levi. And Shimon now is simply presenting. He's not claiming that he had his own document written on his own name from Reuven. Actually, he says, Reuven simply, did the easy short way. He just passed over that same document that he received from Levi, the other owner. He gave that document to me. And by doing so, he transferred the property to me. That's a way of acquisition. That's a method of being kind. Okay? Plus, I was there 3 years, I have a chazok. That's called mesira. Oisya is the words, the text, the content of Ishtar. It's just words, right? But if it's on cloth, it's on an actual, drafted document, and that document is passed on, perhaps that's considered passing on, transferring of ownership. That's the machlokes. Be'oisiyis niknois b'mesira kemifliki. By handing over that document, mesira, does that constitute a transfer of ownership? That's the machlokes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Sobar, nope, nothing doing. Ein Oisiyis niknois b'mesira, that's not a way of acquiring. You need to make a proper kinyan. Rashbam says, for instance, he actually takes a shovel and digs into the ground. That's a chazaka. That's the other type of chazaka, the kinyan chazaka, not the chazaka we're speaking about, having been there 3 years. You have to actually acquire it properly through a kinyan chazaka. Therefore, he says, you can't use the shtar, you must use a chazaka. For Rabbi Savar, Rabbi disagrees, Oisiyos Niknes Mesira, as soon as Reuben passed on that document to Shimon, even though it's not on Shimon's name, he becomes the new owner. And therefore Rabbi says, you can use the shtar. Only Abai. So Abai responded to Rabbi Dimi. According to this, Imkain, but Plukta Lidamar, you're going to be disputing Mar, the teacher who was Abai's Rabbi, Rabba. Rabba was Abai's Rabbi. And you may recall at the end of yesterday's daf, we had a whole discussion between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, and according to Rabba, it actually revolved around this very question. Oisiyos niknois b'mesira. And guess what? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, yes, oisiyos niknois b'mesira, which is totally inconsistent with the way Rav Dimi is explaining the machloekes between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, and according to him, the conclusion is according to Shimon Gamliel, enoisis nuknais b'mesira. So you're going to be disagreeing with Rabba? Amalei v'tzif, like, okay, fine, so big deal. Sama, you know, okay, fine. So it's machloekes. We have different, you know, approaches. Amalei Sabai says, no, that's not what I meant. I meant to say like this. Rabba wasn't coming in a vacuum. He was coming to explain the Brisa, and that was the only way to explain that Brisa yesterday. If we learn that according to Shimon Gamliel, ain oisiyos, yes oisiyos, yes oisiyos, nikkas b'mesira. Hachi kamin lach meant to say masnisa lematarza lematarza mar. That Brisa can only be explained the way mar, the way Rabba did it. And if that's the case, that according to that interpretation, he holds that oisiyos are nikkas b'mesira. Mkein kasha, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If so, there's going to be a kasha between that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says you can be koyin b'mesira, on our Rabbi Shimon Gamliel today, Ad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which according to you, who according to you is going with enoisiyos nikkas b'mesira. So therefore, Abaye sort of did away with the pshat, and he came up with another pshat to explain today's brisa, which will be consistent with, in line with yesterday's brisa. That today's brisa is unrelated to the question of oisiyos nikkas b'mesira, rather it relates to a case where this fellow is presenting either a shtar or a chazok, and it turns out the shtar is less than perfect. It's deficient. Well, one of the witnesses are either a relative of the one of the parties, or which disqualifies him from testifying, or he's an apostle, he's a robber, or whatever. Elam Rabbi Yochanan Ben Skinner was speaking about a case kugon shenimtzu echad man. It's been discovered that one of the witnesses on today's document is a karev apostle. So basically, you have no edim. Because if one on the team is disqualified, the whole team is disqualified. So you have a shtar with no edim. Does that work? That's the question. Rebbe says yes, because according to him, even though there are no edim on the shtar, as long as the shtar was delivered in the presence of edim, that's called edim yasira, it works. That in itself activates the shtar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel disagrees. He says edi chasima are the ones who make the shtar, the signatories, the ones that are inside the shtar, and if they're apostle, the shtar is useless. Rather, you must go to the chazaka to prove your ownership. Ubi plukta on this machlekes of ours connects to a different machlekes. The Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lezer, Kamefli. Between those shittes, Rabbi Savar, look Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer, the Omar who says in Maseches Gittin, you may recall, regarding the halacha of a get, and by extension, any shtar. Eide Mesira Karti. The Torah speaks about writing a get because of, it's the actual text, the content. But you don't need signatures on the Minat Torah, you don't need signatures. What makes karti, what makes the shtar, validates, what activates, what triggers the divorce? Edim Asira, by handing it to her in front of Edim. And likewise, today's shtar, even though the Edim on the shtar, the signatures are problematic, as long as you have Edim when you passed it on, you're good. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Sarva L'Karameir, he was like, Rameir, Doma Edim Mis Chasima Karti. No, the ones who validate the get are the Eidei Chasima, the ones in the get, the ones that are signing on the get, and likewise on any shtar. We need Eidei Chasima. And in our case, we're lacking Eidei Chasima because they're apostle. So, yeah, the only way you can prove ownership is by showing the Chazaka. Ask Sigmar, really, in this case, anybody would accept such a shtar, which is internally deficient. It's not just missing Eidei Chasima. Eidei Chasima are apostle. I mean, that's worse than not having them at all. Va'amar Abba, Moidai Rabbi Lezer, even Rabbi Lezer would agree, b'mezuyif mitoicha, when it's internally forged, so to speak. It's internally deficient. Shu pasal, of course it's pasal. So, how could you suggest that according to Rebbe, a shtar with these problematic signatures can be used? Ella Amar Rabbi Avina. Says Rabbi Avina, and some explain this, actually Ravina, which is a short form of Rabbi Avina. So he comes along with the third pshat in the brace. Hakol moedim, you know what? All agree that in fact, if there is a problematic aid in there, the whole thing is no good. Hakol moedim shim kasaboy. If there is a comment on the star, it's just an example. Meaning, if once we discover this to be true, uskaknu leedusin shel aidim, we research the aidim here. V'nim says eedusin mezuyevus, and it turns out that the aid is forged, is a fraud or apostle for some reason, apostle, all agree in this case the shtar is disqualified to Rabbi Abba, as we just explained, based on Rabbi Abba, that a mezuyif metoicha internally deficient is apostle. Rather, the machlekes in our sugi is about a case where there are no edim. It's blank. Ela b'shtar she'im alav edim klal. Not like you have problematic edim. You have an absence of edim on the shtar. And it revolves around that same machlekes, whether edim and the shtar are critical or even necessary. The Rebbe says you can use the shtar regardless. Savel lo k'Rabbi Lazar, dam edim misir karti. He holds that as long as you have edim when it was transferred, who saw the transfer, it's okay. Even though there are edim on the shtar, you can use the shtar. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, savel lo k'Rabbi Meir, savel lo k'Rabbi Meir, dam edim chasim karti. No, a get only works when there are edim on the get, because that's what the Torah meant when it says v'kasavlo. Kasavlo means with the chasima. And the chasima is the focal point of the get. That's the kasavlo. And likewise, any shtar needs chasimais. So in this case, there are no chasimais. You got to go to the chazaka proof rather than the shtar. So again, Rav Shimon Gamliel, savel k'Rav Meir, d'amar eid chasima kart. Before you say it comes a fourth pshat, fourth way to explain our machlekes. Again, we're talking about a fellow who's trying to prove ownership, either by providing a shtar or chazaka. Rabbi says take the shtar. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel says the chazaka. What's the machlekes about? The fellow challenging the current possessor, right? The fellow saying, look, it's stolen, it's mine. He's pretty much agreeing that he authored the shtar. He's not saying it's a forged shtar. But you know what he's claiming? He's saying, look, I intended on selling it. I never got around to it. It dropped from me. I lost it. It was still by me and I dropped it. What's he doing? Providing the shtar, showing the shtar as a proof of ownership. It's a lie. But really, the shtar itself, he's admitting, is a legitimate shtar. That's called Moide B'shtar Shekosvi. He's in full agreement that he wrote, he authored the shtar, he commissioned the shtar, it's a proper shtar. But, he's saying, it's being presented wrongly, right? So the question is, Tzorach L'Kaimut, does that obligate the other fellow to certify the shtar? So Rashbam explains, there's a concept called pesha asar pesha hiter. If I introduce some, you know, information which sort of incriminates me to my detriment, I can come back and say, one second, within, you know, the same sentence, I can come back and explain myself. I meant such and such. Pesha ata, the same mouth, same expression, which did the isser, is coming back and explaining. Undoing that, pesha hiter. You must accept the entire package as one. You can't just listen to half the sentence, right? So, in our case, when I'm admitting to the authenticity of the shtar, but I'm also explaining myself, yeah, it's real, but it's not being used properly. Do we have to accept that or not? So on the one hand, you can say, yeah. Even though he's admitting that the shtar is real, but he's adding a very big disclaimer. So either you accept the entire package, or you don't. And in that case, in order to use the shtar, you have to certify it independent of this fellow's admission, because this fellow's admission is not really helping us. Tzorach l'kaimi. On the other hand, you can say, as Rashbam explains, typically we don't suspect, we're not choshed that Yisrael or Yid would go and forge and get involved in fraud and swindling. The point of requiring kiyum, why do we require that a person certify a shtar before using it? It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah midrabanan. So, you know, to avert any future, you know, any trouble. So once this fellow admits, he concedes that it's a proper shtar, it's not a fraudulent shtar, then you're done. You're done with it. You don't have to accept the next part of a statement, where he's claiming that it's being used, it's being applied untruthfully. So that's the machlekes. Again, we have the fellow challenging the application of the shtar, but admitting to the content, to the authenticity of the shtar. It's not a forged shtar, but it's being used improperly. I had it and I dropped from me. You should never have taken it from me to claim ownership. So until that other person finds independent certification, we have to sort of rely on my words. And therefore you can't use it. That's one shita, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Therefore, you have to go to the chazaka. Whereas Rabbi says, look, once I admit that it's a It's not a forced shtar, that's it. That's all we need to hear from you. And we use the shtar. Hibay Yisayim Ebubay the b'shtar shekos svoit tzaruch lakamik ha-miflikit. Machalik says whether the other fellow has to be mekayim the shtar. Once I admit, that's legitimate. The Rebbe Savar Moed b'shtar shekos svoit ein tzaruch lakamik. He doesn't need to do that. He can use it. As is. V'rav Hashem Lil Savar tzaruch lakamik. He must be mekayim it. Otherwise, you have to rely on me. And I'm claiming that it's null and void at this point. Really? We take a look at a brisa which we had back in the beginning of Bava Metzia. It would seem that the opinions that are presented here, attributed to Rebbe and his opponent, have been reversed. The Sanya Shnai Madukin Mishtar. Two people are clutching a Shtar Chayiv. And each one is telling a different story. So they pretty much found it in the street, and they're telling us a story. Malva Eimer, so the lender is saying, the Shnaim, by the way, happened to be the lender and the borrower. So they're both grabbing that same document. Malva Eimer Shalihu, Venofel Menu Mitzasiv. Malva says, what do you mean? You owe me $1 million, it was mine. I dropped it, it fell out of my pocket. And now you found it, and you're trying to take it back. V'loiv Eimer Shalchahu Uperativ Lach. And the Leiv is singing a different tune. Yeah, it used to be yours, I paid you back. I got it back and I dropped it. Now we're both holding it in a tug of war. Rabbi says, look, you have to certify that it's real, it's authentic, validate the signatures, and it would seem from these words that Rabbi is pretty much giving it to the lender. Just certify it and use it, the entire thing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees, you split it. Like any item that you find together in the street, both grabbing it, they split it. Vavinuma, we had a kasha on Rebbe. How could you grant it entirely to the lender? Velesle, the Rebbe, Hadisnan. What about the Mishnah? Rebbe doesn't hold it a Mishnah. Shnayim Yechsem Batalas, right? Famous Mishnah. Two people are clutching a garment. Zeri Menim Sassir, Rebbe says, I found it. Zeri Menim Sassir, Shimon says, he found it. So we split it. Zeri Yeshava, so each one has to swear and take half. Zeri Yeshava, Sheinle, Babachas Mechetzi. Rubin will make a shvua. And his portion in this, the garment, is no less than 50%. V'zei Yeshava Sheinah Babachas Mechatzin Shimon makes the same Shavuot, Yechlek, and they split it. So here the Imam and the Levi are grabbing and clutching the Shtar. Split it. Don't give it entirely to the lender. V'amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, you write. V'mekuyim dekuliyam v'lepligi deyechlek. If the Shtar was already mekuyim, there's that hempik, right? The Bezin certification. Authenticating the Shtar. All agreed. That's like any other item that was found by two people. V'lepligi deyechlek, they split it. And basically, the borrower has to pay half the loan, right? That's the way to split a loan, right? Ki pligi the machlekes here between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel is b'shein mekuyim. It's not yet been certified, but the loiva, the borrower, is admitting that it's a real shtar. He's just saying, look, it's been paid up already, right? So Rebbe savar moide b'shtar shekos v'tzaruch l'kami. Rebbe holds that even though he's admitting that it's authentic, he's not claiming that it's a fraud. He's just saying it was paid up. So he's a moed b'shtar shekosvei, still tzarech lekayimei. The malve, in order to cash in on the shtar, has to go find independent certification. You can't rely on the loiva's admission because he's claiming that it was paid up. And you're right, v'mekayimei, once he's mekayimei, once he certifies it, he finds a way to certify it, he'll get, but only half. Gavi palga. Rebbe never meant to give him more than half. Of course he only gets half. Rebbe just meant to say, before you even get half, before you get your first penny, you have work to do. Okay, if you lay, but if you can't certify it, chas b'balmu. As far as we're concerned, it's a piece of pottery, it's worthless. That's Rebbe's opinion. So Rebbe's going with the concept that tzarech l'kayimei, but the other shita, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Gamliel, Sovar, he holds, moide b'shtar shekos v'ein tzarech l'kayimei. Once the opponent admitted that it was a legitimate shtar at some point, done deal. So the lender does not have to be m'kayimei. Yechlek, when they split it, right off the bat. So the opinions, the shitas here, are totally switched. They've been reversed relative to our sugya. Again, because by us we're saying, Rebbe holds, moide b'shar tzarkos v'ein tzarech l'kayimei. Therefore you can use the shtar. Rabbi Shimon, Gamliel holds, tzarech l'kayimei. And in that Gemara goes the other way. Eifa will switch around the names. We might say another pshat can be. Loyal was safe enough to switch around the opinions, to put them in line with each other. Rather, we're going to propose yet another, a fifth way to explain our braisa, which is unrelated to the question of moide b'shasha kosvay and doesn't get us into trouble. Alacha b'levarer kamifsky. Oh, a brand new concept called levarer. This fellow who was challenged, this fellow who was approached by the former owner, claiming, oh, you stole my field. He responded, twofold. What are you talking about? I have a shtar. I was here 3 years. I wouldn't even need a shtar if I wouldn't have one. I happen to have both. So really, theoretically, he didn't need both proofs. One is enough. But, listen to this. Once he conceded that he has two possible proofs, does he have to bring them both? It's like a Bezin type of, you know, requirement. Once you can bring proofs, you have to bring it. You have to back up your words. You can't just bluster and claim all kinds of... Once you've claimed it, you have to back it up. Even though, in theory, you didn't have to even mention the fact that you have the second proof. But once you brought it up, you have to prove it. You have to bring it. That is the machlekes. Belevarer kamifliki. So again, theoretically, either one works, either a shtar or 3 years of chazaka, which substitute, which take the place of a shtar. Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all you need is a chazaka. Pretend he never mentioned the shtar. You don't have to go and bring in a truckload of documents just because he mentioned them. Whereas Rabbi says no. Rabbi says once you mention the shtar that you have, chazaka is not enough, you have to actually bring the shtar. Now, Rashbam says a very interesting point. There's an irony here. Even though we require it, let's say it turns out that he claimed that he had Edom or whatever, and he didn't really have to, but he referred to them, and he brought them in, and they're not sure what's going on. They actually, disagree with the facts. So it doesn't turn out as good as he thinks it's going to turn out. He relied on the Edom. We're going to have a story coming up soon with a loan that was meant to be repaid, that was purportedly repaid in front of the Edom. And the Rashbam says, let's say the Edom would come in and say, well, actually, it never happened. No harm was done because he didn't really need the Edom. So it's like a little of an ironic situation. Tesis asks on this. He says, how could it be? How could we have a situation where, on the one hand, we require you to bring the extra proof, but if the proof turns out not to pan out, you're still okay. Interesting concept, according to Rashbam. We obligate you to do it. You claimed you have it, bring it in. Okay? So in any case, that's the machlokes. So Rabbi says, you got to bring in the shtar, whereas Shmuel Gamliel says, no, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. You don't have to overdo it. As long as you have some proof of ownership, that's enough. Kihod Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, as we find in the following story regarding Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who lent money to Rabbi Abba. Have a masak beizuzi, he had a monetary claim on Rabbi Abba. Okay, come payday, wanted his money back, and Rabbi Abba claimed to have repaid him. And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef disagreed. He denied ever being repaid this loan. Also, come to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcho. So he comes to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcho. Amar, and Rabbi Abba says, look, I know I borrowed the money, but I paid him back. Praticha, I paid you back with Pliny in front of Reuben and Shimon. We had Edom. And he couldn't recall the story. You know, this reminds me of a famous story with Rashash, of Shmuel Strassen, in the back, in the Chiddush of Rashash, in the Gemara. He was a huge Talmud Chacham and also a very wealthy man, Baal Chesed, and he once lent somebody money. Famous story, once lent somebody money, and a while later, the person came to pay him back, and the Rashash was learning at that time, and he handed him the money, and he just sort of slipped it into the Gemara, for the time being, on the back of the Gemara, and it just slipped his mind. Totally forgot about it. A while later, he approached the Leiva, and he says, where's my money? He says, what do you mean I paid you back? What do you mean? I don't remember. Sure, I paid you back. And sooner or later, it became known that the Rashash had a claim against this fellow who supposedly did not repay his loan. And it became public, went viral. And, of course, people sided with the Rosh Hash was a renowned Talmud Chacham, Chashav Yid, the Rosh of the Kehillah, one of the prominent members in town. And of course, who would you believe? If it's a question of the Rosh Hash's integrity versus the other person, of course, the Rosh Hash, right? So you'd believe the Rosh Hash, and this person was left out in the cold, and he was suspected of lying and stealing, and eventually he left town, and he lost his whole business and his reputation, and he was compelled to move out of town and relocated to another place, and a poor guy lost his whole life. A while later, the Rosh Hash was sitting and learning Gemara. He's turning this page, and suddenly, lo and behold, there's the money. His eyes popped out. He couldn't believe it. And he felt terrible. He felt awful. The person really repaid that money. Honest man. And look what I caused him. So much aggravation, so much embarrassment. Killed his whole name and his family's name, reputation. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to try to find him, track him down, and ask him for mechila. So he went and found out where he lives, and he tracked down there, and he approaches the man. He says, I feel terrible. I feel unbelievable, terrible. I just found the money in the Gemara. You're right. And what could I do to undo the harm that was done to you? So the man says, look, it affected me, but not just me, my whole family. My whole family's name went down the drain, my kids. Who's going to want to marry me? Who's going to want to marry my family? So he says, look, there's only one way that you can undo it. I'm willing to offer you something. He says, look, I have a daughter of marriageable age. You have a son? The only way you can rectify, you can undo what happened, is by making a shidduch between the two. This way people will know. Because basically, look, if I forgive you, right? People are just going to say, like, that the Rosh Hash, of course, was right, and the Rosh Hash is just going lefnei meshuras hadin, and, feels bad, so he's pretending that the money was really paid back, and he's telling stories. They're not really going to believe that I'm still a man of integrity, right? My name was gone. Reputation is gone. This is the only way we can really, really fix it up. Because nobody would ever marry into a family of dishonest people. The fact that you would be willing to marry into my family would be the clearest proof that, in fact, the whole thing was a mistake, the whole thing was an error, and really, really, I'm an honest man from an honest family. And the Rosh Hash went and spoke to his son, and they agreed, and they made a shidduch. So, yeah. It's the Yavetz, the Yenis Naivshins writes that apparently Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef was, due to his engrossment in learning, he didn't recall having been paid back the loan. But of course, Rav Abba claimed to have paid it in front of two Edom. Okay, so what happened? Amalei Rav Yitzchak, so fine, so Rav Yitzchak responded to him. Okay, you're saying that there were Edom present when you repaid it? Okay, bring the Edom. Yavoyu plenu plenu, yayidu. Let them come and testify. Amalei. So he says, and if I don't bring them, I lose the case? I don't really need to bring them. The truth is that if I borrow money, even in front of Edom, I don't have to repay it in front of Edom unless you specify, but otherwise I don't have to. So why are you obligating me to trouble myself and bring the Edom here? They don't come, you're not going to believe me? An accepted halacha. If you lend money, even in the presence of Edom, the borrower need not do it in front of Edom. He can repay me privately. So why are you making me go through this, effort, this whole bother? Amar Lesi said, "Ano bahi kishmata devar svirli." Actually, you yourself, Rabbi Abba, is the one who tells us, who teaches us that you have to bring the Edom. And I hold like you. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba himself. This is you. You quoted Amar Rav Adar Rav Amar Rav, the name of Rav Omer, L'chaveir Praticha B'fnei Ploni Ploni. If Shimon claims to his lender, look, I repaid you in the presence of Reuven and Shimon, even though he didn't have to say that, with extra credit, you have to follow through. Tzarech sheyavoyu pliny v'yid. You have to bring those people to testify. So that's exactly what I'm doing. Amar leis, he responded, v'amar v'gidlam arav. But Rav Gidl quotes Rav Alachar Kedivir, Rav Shimon Liel, we pass on Rav Shimon Liel, in terms of our brisa here, you don't have to be mevarer something extra beyond what's required. So why are you requiring me to do this? Vaf Rebbe Loy Omar Elo Levar, and even Rebbe disagrees, because he knows that it's better. It makes sense that once he mentioned it, once he referred to that extra proof, you have to require, he required to bring it. But not that he really had to do it. Right? He didn't have to suggest it, but once he mentioned it, too bad, you have to follow through. Perhaps otherwise it raises, question marks regarding his position, regarding his claims, if he can't carry it through. Fine. But that's all. So meaning that according to the letter of the law of Enhadin, you wouldn't really have to. And even Rebbe is only because once he mentioned it, he submitted himself, he has to do it. But that's not how we paskin. We paskin like Rav Shimon Liel. Amalais, he says, no, actually, I paskin like Rebbe. I'm not Nami Levar Kamina. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm going like Rebbe. So once you mention that you have Edom, bring him to the Bezin. And ironically, as we mentioned before, the Rashbam points out that if the Edom would come and say, well, actually, we don't remember any money being paid in front of us, it's still okay. Because since they weren't really appointed as Edom, it wasn't really required. They happened to be staying there. So, you know what? Sometimes you see things and, if you're not fully focused, you'll just fly right by you. You're not really going to, pay heed, pay attention, and certainly not recall it long term. So, you have to make the effort. You have to make the Hishtadlos, bring the Edom in. You claim they were Edom, bring them in. Until that happens, you haven't really proven your position. Okay, so in summation, we had a brisa. Fellow claims to be an owner of a property, being challenged by somebody else. He can either bring the shtar or the chazakah. Which way do we go? Rebbe says the shtar, Rebbe Shimon says the chazakah. We had no less than 5 explanations on this brisa. Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Parah Mitzah Schoivai. So Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven and paid him up halfway. What do we do now? Do we leave the shtar, which indicates $1 million, in the hands of Reuven? So if you would fully repay him, of course, the shtar gets back to, return the shtar. But here it's only partial payment. What do we do? Rabbi Daimel Yachlif, Rabbi Daimel says, look, switch the shtar. Tear up the old one. Give him a new shtar from today's, from the old date, which will enable him to collect from people who purchased property from the borrower after that original date. So we give him that original date with this new amount, with the updated amount. Rabbi Yosef Yichtev Shaver. No, that's not the preferred way. Just issue a receipt to the borrower. That's much better. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Well, giving him a receipt has a downside, because if he loses the receipt, he's in trouble. Nim says that Tzorach Liyos Shemir Shavar Ben Achbar Misadiyya. Loiv asked him now, guard that receipt with his life, lest the mice carry it away. He's got to hold on to it for all time. That's unfair to him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, Kach Yafule. Actually, even though it's inconvenient to the Loiv, but it's better for the lender. Why? Because now he can pressure the borrower to pay him up soon. For concern that the borrower might lose the receipt, so he's going to be pressured to pay him up soon. As opposed to putting the lender at a disadvantage by switching the shtar. As we're going to see in the Gemara. So we have two approaches regarding a partial payment. Rabbi Yehuda says we issue a new document on the new amount from the old date. Rashi says, let him keep the document as a pressure point against the loive, and just give him a receipt. Amar Rav Huna Marav, ain't locha like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Huna quotes Rav, I don't go with Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda. I don't accept any of these methods. I have a third approach. Ela Bezdin, instead of the Edom writing a new shtar, Bezdin gets involved. Mekar Nashtar, they rip up the original shtar. Because Nashtar Racha, Mizman Rishon, they issue a new document with a new amount. featuring the original date. Only Bezdin can do that. Amr Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman asked him, Amr Rav Sam Sar Yirma, but Abba asked Rav Huna, you're in full agreement with Rav Yehuda. What do you mean you're not adopting Rav, accepting Rav Yehuda? Ishmiel le Rav ha Brisa. If you only would have heard the coming Brisa, coming up soon, the Sanya, which tells us that Eidim Makaren is Hashtar, because Hashtar Acham is Manrishin. Yeah. Had Eidim do just that, as you suggested, they tear up the original Shtar, they write a new Shtar, but they keep the original date. So, if only you had heard that Brisa of Ahadarbe, then you would agree with Rav Yehuda. You wouldn't be disagreeing with Rav Yehuda, because that's Rav Yehuda's Shita. That's exactly what you're saying. Amalei says, no, Shmieli, actually, I know the Brisa of Lehadarbe. I heard the Brisa, but I'm not going to change my mind. Why? Because when I said Bezdin gets involved, I meant specifically the Bezdin. And only the Bezdin had the authority to issue a new document today with yesterday's, with the original date. Only they can do that. Of course the Bezdin has the ability to do that. Alimi, they're strong enough to extract money. Basically, what they can do anything regarding monetary issues. They see it fit. They see that the proper approach is to write a new document with the old date, with the original date. They can do that. Bezdin has the koyach to do that. Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, right? But Eidim can't do that. El Eidim, once the Eidim completed their mission, Shasr Shlichusen, by issuing the first document, Choyzer Vayisr Shlichusen, can they come back and do their shlichus, their job again? They're done. Meaning, they can't come back today, rewrite that old document based on the original date. They can write today's date, but they can't go back to the original date. That's over. So therefore, says Rav, I'm not really going to take Rav Yeshi's approach with the receipt, nor Rav Yehuda's approach with the rewriting of the document. The new number, but the old date, done by the Eidim, they can't do that. Only the Bezdin can do that. Asks the more, really, Veloy, Eidim can't? Va'omar vidomar Rav, Eidim koisvin afil asar ashtaris, asad achas. Eidim may write 10 documents in the same field. Basically, you have a fellow who claims to have lost his shtar. Okay, with my title document, I lost it. He goes to the Eidim and says, you know what, could you give me a duplicate shtar? You can do that 10 times over and over again, no problem. Says the Gemara, no. Rav Yosef Amar b'shtar matana. That's only by a gift document, which has no achrayis. It's not warranted. So the date there is really irrelevant. Right, the date is typically to enable the fellow to collect from somebody who purchased a property from the same seller after him. But if it's not dated, then there's no risk involved. So the Eidim can do that. Rabba Amar B'shtar Shei Ma'achrayis. Rabba says we're speaking even about a Shtar Mechira, a sale document, but there's no Achrayis. Again, there's no warranty in there. So there's no issue, there's no risk of falsifying dates and all that. So therefore the Eidim can go rewrite their Shtar. But in our case, we're speaking about a Shtar Choyiv, which by its very essence is meant for collection. Collection based on the loan issued on that original date, which enables them to go to Lekuchais, right? People who purchase property from the borrower after that date. So in this case, only the Bezdin can rewrite a shtar today based on the new amount, reflective of this partial, repayment, and still stick to the original date of the original loan. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.